I caught your shine and some tits and wings. Your mama said I should take it easy. Living this way will put you in the ground. But just as long as the people come and see me, me and the boys will keep chasing the sound. Passing your band for both our kings, bouncing round from town to town. Rusty strings and one night things, what you put in don't always pay out. Well, I can't afford not to.
Sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Before we get into the meat of today's show, I want to briefly address something here at the top that relates to something we've been talking about for years about what makes it into the corporate media narrative and what doesn't. And one of the things I've told you many times before is that stories with a good beginning, middle, and end, a clear beginning, middle, and end, are much more likely to be made stories by corporate media. And so, for example, when we talk about shootings, a particular shooting where we have the shooting is going on, they've captured or killed the shooter, what's the backstory on the shooter, thoughts and prayers are sent, the victims, boom, that it's done. Okay. The bigger story of the constant, and I mean almost daily mass shootings in the United States, more than daily, in fact, is less of a story because it's an ongoing story. It doesn't have a very clear beginning, middle, and end. And I can think of no greater illustration of this than the fact that since the shooting in Uvalde, Texas last week, since there have been 17 mass shootings in the United States, 17 more shootings since the Uvalde, Texas shooting. You can read about them if it's, it is depressing reading. You can read about them at gunviolencearchive.org. And you will see that, for example, over the weekend in Philly, there was a mass shooting where two people were killed and two people were injured. In Henderson, Nevada, seven were injured in a mass shooting. In Phoenix, Arizona, there was a mass shooting where one person was killed and five people were injured. And you can just look at the list. And as I've said before, every single one of these is its own story. You could look at the Henderson, Nevada shooting, for example, and it pops up a Facebook page, or it will eventually, from the Henderson Police Department explaining what happened. And there was a reported shooting and police and fire responded and on and on and on. Every single one of these is a story. And it is a constant. And that's why it's not as big of a media story. Individually, any of these might make news or they might not. Most of them have at least like a local news article that's written about it. But consider everything that's happened in Uvalde, Texas, learning about the shooter and what happened and how they got in and on and on. The victims, the mourning. There have been 17 more such incidents with victims and perpetrators and police responses and affected families, etc. 17 of them since Uvalde. Most of us only the for most of us, the last shooting we really heard about was the one in Uvalde, Texas. So it's a story with seemingly no end. And that doesn't make it a good corporate media story, but it continues to happen almost or even more than once every single day. We are not yet able to say that the dam is breaking when it comes to Republicans and gun safety regulations. In fact, it's not breaking in total, but we are starting to see some cracks as multiple Republicans, including an NRA endorsed Republican, are now doing a 180 and saying it's time for gun safety regulations. Something has to be done. I have two examples of that for you. We're first going to look at an interview that Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger did on CNN. Now, caveats. Adam Kinzinger is leaving Congress. Okay. Adam Kinzinger is not a Trump Republican. He is an anti-Trump Republican. And so some people will write him off and say he's not really a Republican because of that. But this is a Republican who, for a long time, opposed banning assault-style rifles. And now he said it's something he's open to. This is a major change. Take a look at this.
Congressman, you do still oppose a ban on the kind of assault weapons that were used in the shooting. Can you explain why private citizens need weapons of war?
Look, I have opposed a ban, fairly recently. I think I'm open to a ban now. Wow. It's going to depend what it looks like, because there's a lot of nuances on what constitutes, certain things. But I'm getting to the point where I have to wonder, maybe somebody to own one. Maybe you need an extra license. Maybe you need extra training. And so the question is it a ban versus an additional certification? But yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, the 99.9% of people that own ARs, we all know, are not going to walk into a school and do this. But the problem is, for those that support the Second Amendment, like me, we have to be coming to the table with ways to mitigate 18-year-olds buying these guns and walking into schools. My side's not doing that.
Right.
My side's not coming forward with reasonable ways to defend an amendment that we think is very important.
They're
and
not.
So I'm looking at this going, fine, if people are going to put forward solutions about certifying maybe who can buy an assault weapon, I'm certainly open to that.
So listen, it's no big gun safety declaration. He's leaving Congress. He's saying maybe it's just more restrictions and not really banning them, but it's a change and it's an important change. Now, the reality is that a ban alone isn't enough to really interrupt the school shooting fiasco we have in this country, but it's maybe one part. And I talked about that in my list of 10 specific gun safety proposals that I outlined last week. It's also important to mention Kinzinger still voted with Trump 90% of the time while Trump was president. But listen, he's willing here. OK, and so let's praise it for what it is and not go overboard. Now, here's another example. Then Chris Jacobs, who's a straight up NRA endorsed congressman from New York, after the Buffalo shooting, he also says that his perspective has changed. There's a great piece in the Buffalo News which says Congressman Chris Jacobs of Orchard Park made a surprising about face on gun control issues, becoming perhaps the first congressional Republican to call for an assault weapons ban in the wake of the recent mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. At a news conference and later with the Buffalo News, Jacobs, who was endorsed by the NRA in 2020, laid out a series of new stances that run contrary to the Republican Party line on guns. In addition to saying he would vote for a Democratic bill banning assault weapons, he also said he would back raising the age on some gun purchases to 21. My suggestion was 25, but 21 is something. Limiting the capacity of magazines, I agree, and banning the sale of military-style body armor to civilians. In the interview, Jacobs said the two recent shootings forced him to reevaluate his position on guns and to research where he wanted to stand in the future. So what can we say? I can't say the dam is breaking. The NRA is incredibly strong, but there are cracks starting to form. And it really remains to be seen whether this will become anything and whether anything will happen or not. This could start to achieve change or at least start putting pressure on people to make a change. And it's very interesting. Adam Kinzinger, Chris Jacobs, let's see who else add themselves to the list. The claim in Washington is that this is different. Now, we've heard that 1,000 times before because we've had 1,000 or more mass shootings. It remains to be seen whether that will be the case. I have some incredible video for you today. It would be funny if it weren't so scary. CNN's Jim Acosta, while the NRA convention was happening in Houston, Texas, in the same state where 72 hours earlier we had this horrific shooting in Uvalde, Texas, CNN's Jim Acosta interviewed a board member of the National Rifle Association. That board member is a Republican judge named Philip Journey, also a former Kansas state senator. Jim Acosta asked, why should an 18-year-old be able to have an AR-15? Why does an 18-year-old need an AR-15? And again, it would be hilarious if it weren't for the fact that these people and this organization were so powerful. Take a look at this historic implosion on live television.
With these mass shootings, it keeps coming back to the AR-15 and similar models. Why do people need an AR-15 anyway?
You know, it's just a semi-automatic rifle. I mean, you know, if you want to be prejudiced about the way it looks, but I was aware of what happened in the 94 semi-automatic firearms ban, and there were rifles of similar function that just didn't look as ugly. They weren't black guns like a Mini 14, Ruger Mini 14.
So I can't help but mention this talking point about there's prejudice against certain weapons based on how they look. They want to almost make it like it's a form of racism, like you're judging things by their cover, and that you're prejudiced if you look at a weapon and say that's a bad weapon. They want to use the same terms almost as if it were a form of racism. This is a concerted effort that they make to talk about prejudice and discrimination against firearms based on the way they look. Okay, let's continue the meaningless word salad.
And of course, the Ruger Mini 14 was appropriate and the AR-15 was not if it had a bayonet lug or a vertical rear grip. So they designed around
it. I do want to ask you about the assault weapons ban, but you know, on the AR-15, how is it that an 18-year-old can buy an AR-15 style rifle and have 1,600 rounds of ammo with him like we saw in Uvalde?
Well, he did not have any prior convictions. He didn't have any prior issues that would have kept him from purchasing one. It's my understanding from the news that he purchased it through a firearms dealer. He passed the background check because he didn't have any prior convictions.
Now, of course, this is the problem. If we did the things I suggested, limit these firearms to those 25 plus, require more extensive training, require two or three letters from adults in the community saying, I have no issues with this individual having firearms, require a mental health evaluation. Those things would likely have at least made it more difficult for this individual to get these particular firearms. What this guy's saying is he got them because there was nothing in place that stopped him. Right. Well, but that's the problem. We need to put things in place.
Right. But should an 18-year-old have an AR-15?
That's how he bought it.
Should an 18-year-old have an AR-15? What's he going to do with it?
I don't know. Should an 18-year-old have one in the Army?
Well, they have military training in the Army. This 18-year-old in Uvalde did not have military training. He turned 18 and he went out and bought an AR-15.
Okay.
Ed, the fact is that these kinds of issues...
Did he just call him Ed?
...are far more complicated than whether we remove something from the public. These issues in criminogenics
and
trying
to resolve questions, you can't buy a beer if you're 18, you can't
buy a pack of
cigarettes.
Violent crime are more complicated than the easy answer. Do you want to know why politicians seem to go to gun control? Because it doesn't cost them any money.
Oh, God. Okay, so listen, completely humiliating. I mean, a complete and total implosion. That being said, the pro-gun people do have an easy answer, which this guy just missed. I don't agree with this answer, but sometimes, you know, when you ask some of these folks this exact question that Jim Acosta is asking, sometimes they go, Jim, I don't need to defend it. It's in the Constitution, period. Now, it's lame. It ignores reality, but it is an answer, which is like, just because you don't like it, Jim, doesn't mean it isn't in the Constitution. It's not about why does an 18-year-old need it. We have a constitution and a right to bear arms. Now, of course, the counter would be limiting certain guns for certain people, whether because of age or whatever. These are not violations of the Second Amendment. So there is there are rebuttals to the rebuttals for sure. And this entire thing of you're prejudiced against guns because of how they look, they want you to think like it's racism. Now, one bonus here, as you all may know, and we will look at later, Donald Trump danced. He did his dance on stage after speaking to the NRA 3 days after the horrible shooting in Texas. Jim Acosta asked this guy, this NRA board member, about Trump's dancing, and the guy just denies that it happened. And then CNN puts it up on the screen alongside this guy saying Trump didn't dance. And this is what we've been talking about for a long time. It doesn't matter if it's on video, they'll still deny stuff.
In Uvalde. Your group is holding its convention in Houston, where you are right now, just a few days after the massacre in Uvalde. We saw Donald Trump dancing on stage at the end of his remarks.
I was there. He was not dancing.
How is any of this at all appropriate? We're showing it on stage right now. He's doing a little jig there. People are waving their NRA hats and so on. It's this celebratory atmosphere right after a mass shooting where all of these kids are gunned down. How is that appropriate?
I think that what you're doing is just telling part of the story there, because at the beginning of his speech, he did do a very memorable memorial for the victim.
So first he says Trump didn't dance. And then when the video gets put on the screen, he says, well, the dancing is only part of the story. But you just said he didn't dance. So which is it? These people are really sick, really, really sick. They are not a scourge, as Trump pronounces it, but they are really a scourge. And we're going to look at what happened at the NRA convention after the break. But we've got an uphill battle here, my friends. I do want to announce we are going to be doing our next David Pakman Show member town hall on June 14th at 6 p.m. Eastern. It'll be streamed on the Pakman Live YouTube channel only. And I hope you'll join me there. All right. We are now going to talk about the NRA convention, which took place over the weekend. It took place not that far in the same state of Texas where the shooting happened earlier the same week in Uvalde, Texas. Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott bailed on speaking there. Some others bailed as well. Understandably, it looks absolutely terrible to go and speak at the place that celebrates more guns in more places right after this horrifying mass shooting that took place in Uvalde. But Ted Cruz insisted on speaking, and so did Donald Trump. One of the sickest and most dangerous events I have ever seen. We covered it live. Ted Cruz's speech was downright sinister, with the exact type of pablum and apologia that you would expect in the wake of a horrible gun disaster at a speech for an organization that just wants more guns in more places. Trump's speech was even worse, and one of the most vile stunts that I've ever seen at any event is Trump quite literally did a gong show. Trump decided to read the names of the victims of the Uvalde, Texas shooting. Many of them very difficult for Trump to pronounce. Of course, any stunt based on Trump reading names is risky. We know what happened when he tried to read the names of Indian people in India. Very bad idea. And they ring a gong after each one. Look at this sick political stunt
of silence as I read the names of these beautiful people, all young, wonderful lives ahead of them, their brave teachers whose lives were destroyed by an out of control lunatic. So we'll start.
Look at this.
Alexandria Rubio.
I thought the gong was a joke at first. I thought it was somehow added as a joke in the feed.
Aletha Ramirez. Amory Garza. Annabel Guadalupe Rodriguez. Eliana Cruz Torres. Ellie Garcia. Jacqueline Cazares.
Okay, I'm not even going to subject you to the entire thing, but this is, I mean, it's sinister the way that this is being used. And what it reminded me of is there's this very controversial thing that has happened historically in the Mormon church, where after certain non-Mormons die, the Mormon church will baptize them posthumously into the Church of Latter-day Saints against their will. These are people who had no interest in being part of the Mormon church. And it's sort of like this, they're part of us. They're being posthumously thrown into the cult after their deaths. This is sort of like a version of that. It's to pull these victims in, into the political cult of the NRA, of guns, of Trumpism, or whatever. It didn't get any better as the speech continued. Trump talked about hardening schools, which is now the thing that they're talking about. He ultimately called for teachers to be armed. He also made up the term virtue cycling. Trump clearly wanting to read the term virtue signaling. I guess he's not familiar with it. And he incorrectly reads off the teleprompter, which Obama was evil for using. Remember, Obama used a prompter and correctly read off of it, and it was bad. Trump has a prompter. Messes it up constantly, never an issue. Listen to this.
How many more tragedies will it take until they agree to set aside their far-left political agenda and do what is really needed and what actually works? This is not about virtue cycling and signing. This is about blaming your enemies. No, we don't want to do that. This is about saving our children's lives. Yes, that's what we want to do. Surely we can all agree our school should not be the softest target. Our school should be the single hardest target in our country.
No.
So
hard to believe anybody believes this at this point.
Why, as part of a comprehensive school safety plan, it's time to finally allow highly trained teachers to safely and discreetly concealed carry.
And we've talked before, almost no teachers actually want to do that. And of course, it brings the added complexity that if there's a shooter, police show up and they can't tell. Now there's multiple people with guns shooting. You think the police are going to first stop and ask questions? Excuse me, who's the good guy with the gun here? So we only shoot the bad guy with the gun. Makes it possible for, imagine, a student to even overpower teachers and take the firearms. It's absolutely and completely bonkers. At another point, Trump brought up a guy who I guess shot a shooter in a church. This guy shot someone dead at some point. And the guy talks about how Trump is actually still his president.
Thank each and every one of you. Again, thank you, President Trump. And you're still my president.
Yeah. So as you can see, there is this overlap between the MAGA cult and this is a pastor. So it's like there's an overlap, a Venn diagram of Christian nationalists, the MAGA election cult, and the gun NRA people. I mean, that's very loud applause for a supposedly nonpartisan organization that's just about gun rights to something that's insane. You're still my president. Just doesn't make any sense. And then lastly, Trump capping off the speech with dancing on the stage as music played. He seemed to only do it a little bit. Probably even Trump realizing this might look bad if we have the second worst mass shooting in the last 11 years since Sandy Hook, or 10 years. And then I speak at a pro-gun event, talk about how great guns are. We certainly don't need to restrict them. And then I dance after mispronouncing a number of the names of the victims. It doesn't look particularly good. And maybe Trump realizing that. It's a totally depraved and sick country. And I have never received so many emails from people around the world with two main emotions, fear and just being horrified by what's happening in the United States, but being simultaneously perplexed. Like, David, what the hell's going on? There's another shooting. An 18-year-old had assault rifles with 1,600 rounds of ammunition. And there's another shooting. And Republicans say, give more guns to teachers. And Trump shows up at the NRA and he dances. Like, it's simultaneously being horrified and being perplexed at what's going on. And I what can I say to them? They're completely right. This is only happening here. This entire package, this configuration of this cult and the availability of guns and the existence of a party like the Republican Party, it's only happening here. And it's absolutely horrifying. Now, I wouldn't normally do this to you, but it is particularly relevant based on what's happened over the last week and the shootings. The day after speaking at the NRA in Houston, Texas, and dancing on stage at the end of his speech, Donald Trump flew to Wyoming and gave a campaign speech in Wyoming for the Republican challenger to Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney now for the MAGA cult is an enemy because she acknowledges that Donald Trump really lost the election. They want to remove her. They're primarying her. She's doing very well in the polls. She'll probably win. But Trump flying up there to campaign for, it's funny, when Trump campaigns for someone, that person is almost completely irrelevant. I don't even remember the woman's name. I think it's Ed Hageman or something like that. And this Trump's brain appeared to just break. His brain is broken. It's not functioning. In this clip, Trump explains how his Covfefe tweet, I call it Covfefe, was so big. He's like bragging about the fact that a tweet that was literal nonsense and unintelligible by a president, which has never been explained, he's bragging how it was his most popular tweet ever. The guy's brain is not functioning.
I put out like this tweet, I think it was like on a Saturday morning, and I saw something Saturday on television, and I said, I believe Obama spied on my campaign. Okay. No, I didn't think it was that big a deal. You know, you put it out. Hey, da, ba. 3 minutes later, I get a call. Like, my phone goes crazy. Sir!
Sir.
Did you just say that President Obama spied in your campaign? Yeah, what's the big deal? Sir, the wires are burning up. I said, really? After Covfefe, it was the single biggest tweet I ever did.
Covfefe was bigger.
But he's ignoring the fact that the reason it was big is because it was a red flag globally that the president has lost his marbles and his brain is broken.
After Covfefe, which was world's number one, it was the biggest tweet I ever did. And I thought it was just going to be like routine. You know, I'm throwing it out, but that's what I thought. That's what I heard. And you know why it was such a big deal? Because we caught them and they realized that we caught them and it became a monster.
Now, understand that Obama was not caught spying on Trump's campaign. None of this makes any sense. But Trump is now bragging about Covfefe. This is not a functioning brain. It's not a functioning brain. Trump then says that the way to stop the war in Ukraine is to take out the windmills. Now, he means wind farms. He uses the term windmills. He also wrongly claims the Russian ruble is now at an all-time high.
Bad as they're doing and as much as they're spending, the ruble is at an all-time high because they're taking in so much money.
What?
You want to stop the war? Drive down the price of oil. Drive down the price of energy. You want to stop it? Stop with the windmills that kill all your birds and destroy your environment.
Yeah, they're called wind farms and they don't destroy the environment and they kill fewer birds than the oil and gas industry. But more importantly, Trump says the ruble is at an all-time high. The ruble is actually close to an all-time low. We're putting the price chart up on the screen. And as you can see, the ruble is actually very low. Now, revisionist history. Donald Trump is now calling it a so-called insurrection. And he is saying the idea that it was an insurrection on January 6th is as fake as the Russia probe, which, by the way, was very, very real. Revisionist history, and the crowd accepts it.
Now you look at the so-called word insurrection, January 6th. What a lot of crap. What a lot of crap. And most of this country knows it. And you know who else knows it? The Democrats. It's another con job, just like Russia, Russia, Russia. This was made up by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. A total fake story.
Now, I don't know if he's saying there that the Russia story was fake or that the insurrection story is fake and made up by Hillary Clinton. He thinks both are fake for sure. And then bringing out all of the greatest hits, Trump also lying about the price of gas.
87 cent per gallon gasoline. Think of that. Now it's going to close to $9 today. That's 87.
$9. And of course, all you have to do is look at the official gas prices. And you see that when Trump left office, it wasn't $1.87. It was $2.42. And now it's $4.21. It's much higher. No doubt. Nobody denies that. It is not $9. So another absolutely despicable event. Just a little bonus clip here. Trump struggling to pronounce the word conservative.
We're going to vote out this atrocious rhino. And we're going to replace her with a conservative warrior from a place called Wyoming.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as though that's going to happen. Liz Cheney is doing quite well. I'm not a fan of Liz Cheney's. I'm just telling you what it looks like. It looks like this will almost certainly be another loss in Donald Trump's endorsement record. The man's brain is broken, my friends. And we'll have these clips on our Instagram at David Pakman Show. One of the most notable differences right now between the Democratic and Republican parties outside of ideology is that the Republican Party not only isn't ashamed to nominate and elect people who just can't think, whose brains really don't work, they almost seem proud of it in some strange way. And one such person is radical Republican Congresswoman from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, fresh off the primary win that she had last week, who now has gaffed again using the term peach tree dish rather than petri dish. Now, we'll get to that. And when I say she's gaffed again, I'll remind you at one point trying to talk about some kind of COVID Gestapo using the term gazpacho, which is, of course, a cold Spanish tomato soup, sometimes with a cucumber in it, which I think is a nice thing to add to gazpacho. Okay, take a listen to this.
Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress.
Now, some people speculated she does this on purpose to get attention. No, she doesn't. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that she has any idea about the word gazpacho versus Gestapo. There is absolutely no reason to think that. Well, she's done it again. And this time she's talking about fake meats. And she seems to think that fake meat is grown not in a petri dish, which is, of course, you know, a little plastic container for holding cells, bacteria, whatever, that it is a peach tree dish. It's a dish in which you put a tree that grows peaches.
You have to accept the fact that the government totally wants to provide surveillance on every part of your life. They want to know when you're eating. They want to know if you're eating a cheeseburger, which is very bad because Bill Gates wants you to eat his fake meat that grows in a peach tree dish.
A peach tree dish.
So you'll probably get a little zap inside your body and that say, no, no, don't eat a real cheeseburger. You need to eat the fake burger, the fake meat from Bill Gates.
Okay. So it's just a gaffe, right? I mean, who cares? Well, it's actually much bigger than just any individual gaffe. These people can barely put together a coherent thought, and it doesn't matter. We have a political party. We have members of a political party in this country that don't care about the fact that their candidates can't think. They can't think, and they still vote for them. In normal countries, these folks would not stand a chance at being in positions of power. And they'll come back and say, oh, how elitist, David. You think only people who use real words and can speak and think a little bit should be able to be in a... Well, I'm not saying it should be illegal for them to run. What I'm saying is that a sane country would never vote for these people. Look at what's going on with Herschel Walker in the Senate. We played these clips last week, but I'll include them here because they're relevant. Herschel Walker is endorsed by Trump, former football player, won his Senate primary in Georgia, essentially unopposed. He can't speak. He can't think. OK, here he was asked by CNN reporter Manu Raju whether there should be any new gun laws. And his answer was, what I like to do is see it in everything and stuff. That's the whole answer.
Hey, Manu Raju with CNN. I know. Do you support any new gun laws in the wake of this Texas shooting? Do you support new gun laws in the wake of this Texas shooting?
What I like to do is see it and everything and stuff. I like to see it and everything.
He likes to see it and everything and stuff. Then the next day he appeared on Fox News and he said he would solve school shootings with a department that can look at young men, looking at young women, looking at social media. That's the solution.
See, that is a person wielding that weapon, you know, Cain killed Abel, and that's the problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men, that's looking at women, that's looking at just social media? What about doing that? Looking into things like
that. Okay, so that's his idea. We want to get a department that can look at young men, looking at women, looking at social media. They cannot speak. They cannot think. And it doesn't dissuade Republicans. It doesn't dissuade Republicans. And so the question becomes, how can you defeat a movement whose elected officials don't even have to have a functioning brain? And that doesn't even dissuade the voters. It doesn't seem like reality matters anymore. And so how do you defeat that? I guess voter turnout on our side. But we say that every year. And then there's always like so-so voter turnout, particularly in midterm. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. This is a very interesting. John Voight, the actor, father of Angelina Jolie. He has been a right wing guy for a while now, pro-Trump guy, kind of a MAGA hero. John Voight has gone off script as far as the MAGA people are concerned after the Uvalde, Texas shooting, and is now saying, oh, we need screening and we need testing for people who are going to have firearms. This is absolutely fascinating. Around election 2020, John Voight said he thought that he and Donald Trump were in our greatest fight since the Civil War. He used to be kind of like a moderate. He supported JFK and whatever, but he's gone completely off the rails more recently. Conspiratorial stuff, talking about Democratic propaganda with subliminal messages, that Obama was a godlike figure, that he would be make America socialist. Like, John Voight went hard right and pro-Trump. And all of a sudden, in the last few days, 2 days ago, right after the Uvalde, Texas shooting, he put out what I would argue are the sanest words he has spoken in years, going 180 from what the MAGA people believe. Take a look at this.
Sure that we will never see this horror again in this lifetime. We must identify every individual for their credentials, for their mental capacity to bear arms.
Right.
There should be proper qualifications for gun ownership and proper testing. One should only own a gun if they're qualified and schooled. I stand with all. I stand for freedom of each soul's truths. I stand for God's truths. I stand for one to be condemned for evil doings.
Now, he still can't get away from this weird conspiratorial religious speak. He can't even get away from that in this segment. But he's saying we need testing, we need evaluation, we need licensing, we need training. This is already more than Republicans are willing to concede.
And that they must pay a price. May God watch over all and bring comfort for this loss which may never heal. For each child was so precious a gift. And God will call on Jesus to pray for these families. Love to you.
Yeah. So he's still a very wacky guy. I'm not going to deny that. But this is not going to put him in the good graces of the Trumpists, that's for sure. But everything John Voight is saying makes perfect sense. How do you buy, over the weekend, I spent time looking at how do you get firearms in Switzerland? People love to talk about Switzerland and guns. How do you get guns in a number of different countries? Look at Japan as an example. In order to get a gun in Japan, you have to take a firearms class and pass a written exam. That's only done 3 times a year. So it's not like, oh, I want a gun this weekend. I'll just go and do the thing this weekend. That's number one. You've got to get a doctor's note saying you're mentally fit and have no history of drug abuse. You have to apply for a permit to take live firing training. That can take a month to get. You have to meet with police and explain why do you need a gun. You have to pass a review of your criminal history, gun possession record, employment, involvement with organized crime, personal debt, relationships with friends, family, and neighbors. You have to apply for a gunpowder permit. You then have to take a 1-day training class and pass a firing test. You've got to get a certificate from a gun dealer describing the firearm that you're looking to get to buy. Then you've got to, if you want a hunting gun, apply for a hunting license. You have to buy a gun safe and an ammunition locker that meets safety regulations. You then have to let police come in and inspect that you actually have the proper storage setup. You pass one more additional background review. And at that point, you are given a permit with which you can go and get your gun. You can still get a gun, but there is serious scrutiny of the people that are looking to do it. Many of those elements are part of what I've laid out. And I have to tell you, all my liberal gun owning friends are fine with everything on my list. And why wouldn't they be? Because their goal isn't more guns in more places. Their goal is we have a Second Amendment. Different people might have different reasons for wanting to have a firearm, which, by the way, might include that so many right wingers have them. And I'm willing to go through a difficult process because it will make me feel better that only people who really safely can have firearms have them. It's listen, as far as John Voight goes, it's glad to see him talk a little sense. It's been about a decade of him not making any sense, unfortunately, sadly. I don't know that any of those things I mentioned last week or that John Voight mentioned in his clip are going to become a reality anytime soon. But we are seeing some cracks with a few Republicans saying, OK, now it's too far. Now we finally have to do something. We'll soon see whether they do. Because of all the things that are constantly going on in the world, and also because gay marriage is now legal nationally in the United States, sometimes it's easy to get the sense that the old school violent homophobia of like kill the gays is over in the United States. It is not over. And I'm going to play some video for you today of a Christian pastor in Arlington, Texas, who wants gay people killed and is very much against the Pride Parade. There was a city council meeting in Arlington, Texas. The point of it was let's hear comments about whatever is on people's minds. And this Christian pastor is very much against the Pride Parade. These exist all over the country. They're generally supportive of LGBT rights, pretty uncontroversial at this point in time. And this homophobic MAGA preacher in Arlington, Texas shows up and says gays are an abomination. They should be executed. I mean, listen, that's what God says. So listen to this. This is still very much a thing. And the scariest part is you'll hear people in the crowd going, yep, mm-hmm, right. They agree with it.
According to God, we should hate pride, not celebrate it. We should humble ourselves as virtually the whole room said that we were a nation under God, according to the American flag, and we were a state under God, according to the Texas flag. We should humble ourselves to what the Bible says and not what the small minority here that is bullied would say.
Amen.
In June of 2020, Mayor Jeff Williams officially announced the acceptance of Pride Month in June for the city of Arlington. But I don't understand why we'd celebrate what used to be a crime not long ago.
Yep.
In fact,
you hear those people. Yep.
According to the Texas Penal Code and Section 21.06,
please be respectful.
Homosexual conduct, a person commits an offense if he engages in deviant sexual intercourse with another individual of the same sex. In fact, that is still on the books today, even though Lawrence versus Texas overruled that in 2003. But God has already ruled that murder, adultery, witchcraft, rape, bestiality, and homosexualities are crimes worthy of capital punishment. Leviticus 20:13, the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death.
Amen.
Their blood shall be...
They should be put to death, and people in the crowd say amen.
Upon them. Romans 1 says that men with men are worthy of death. 2 Peter chapter 2 warns and says that turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that after should live ungodly and deliver just Lot vexed with the filthy conversation.
It is 2022, and they're still talking about death for gay people. You know, back in 2008, I would do interviews like this. Where people would say this stuff, but we like to believe it's not going on anymore. And he kept going with the homophobic stuff, and the crowd kept saying, yep, yep.
According to the CDC, homosexual men are 230 times more likely to get HIV than straight men.
Yep.
I don't know why we would promote disease and AIDS in our community.
Yep.
Additionally, according to this article of self-reported crimes, the LGBT have an average of 20 to 150 children victims, and including they commit an average of 154 acts on their victims. Now, here's the thing. They say that they love so much, but they hate children.
Yep.
They hate Baptists, they hate Christianity, and they hate God.
So this is the gays or pedophiles thing, which is like, this is old school homophobia. Now, I know many of you will say, David, you know, Leviticus, which they often cite, Leviticus also says eating shrimp is an abomination, but they all eat shrimp. What's up with that? And it's true. If you look at Leviticus, it does say that when you eat from the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales, they shall be an abomination unto you. That's what Leviticus says. And you would say, well, but how can they point to Leviticus for the anti-gay stuff, but then they ignore all these other parts of Leviticus? They simply talk about the new covenant. They figured it out, guys. They have a response to this. They say, no. We, Christians, we have been promised the new covenant, which was instituted at the Last Supper as part of the Eucharist. And it replaces the dietary law, but it didn't replace the anti-gay parts. So they've got an answer for that. I know you and I would look at it and we would say, how hypocritical, they'll be picking and choosing, but no. And in fact, they won't just cite Leviticus for the anti-gay stuff. They'll talk about what's in Timothy and what's in Corinthians and on and on and on from the New Testament. So I know that it doesn't make any sense. It's hypocrisy, it's picking and choosing. It's all this stuff that we're very used to. But at the same time, they are continuing, even though it's 2022. Horrifying stuff. All right. Now, I know that this is not the most important story going on right now, but I did want to take a little break from just the heavy politics stuff we've been doing for a bit and let you know about something new that's going on. As many of you know, we have struggled at the show over time on different platforms. We've had 99.8% demonetization on YouTube during Adpocalypse 1.0, about 60% demonetization on YouTube during Adpocalypse 2.0. If you don't remember these incidents, the details are less important than knowing that at any point there are problems on different platforms. On TikTok, we have had suspensions for so-called COVID disinformation, which was us debunking COVID disinformation. We had a period of about 3 weeks where we lost all of our revenue on Facebook for wrongly being labeled COVID disinformation. Okay, we've had all these different things. We are now experiencing similar issues on Instagram. As many of you know, roughly 100,000 of you who follow us on Instagram, we publish our content to Instagram. It's another platform with a ton of users, and we want to be there. We learned last week that on Instagram, our account is being limited because of supposedly false content about COVID or vaccines that we have disseminated. And in fact, for most users, if you try to mention David Pakman Show, which is us on Instagram, you get a message which says, can't mention David Pakman Show because they have repeatedly posted content that goes against community guidelines on false content about COVID-19 or vaccines. What on earth? How could this possibly be? I went and looked. Well, what are the clips that are supposedly false information about COVID or vaccines? There's only two such clips that were removed. One is where we covered that Dr. Fauci wanted a Fox host fired over a kill shot comment. There was a Fox host who talked about Fauci and used the phrase kill shot, which suggests violence against Dr. Fauci. We covered that and the clip was removed. The only other clip that we have had removed by Instagram is one in which we covered we simply posted a sort of political cartoon about the reaction to prior tragedies, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, and then the number of people dying from COVID, which is well higher, and how for many people, there's no reaction whatsoever. That was also removed and flagged as spreading COVID disinformation. It was actually saying we're not taking COVID nearly seriously enough. Can you imagine? I looked up, what is the Instagram policy on condemning COVID disinformation or debunking COVID disinformation? And very clearly, the policy is we allow content shared to condemn or to debunk. We condemned a Fox host using the term kill shot talking about Dr. Fauci. We condemned the lack of care from so many in the United States about what at the time was 3,200 people a day dying of COVID. And we are now being limited on Instagram because we are spreading COVID or vaccine disinformation. Now, you would say, well, there's got to be an appeals process, David. You've got to be able to appeal this. There is, but you can only appeal this ruling if each of these decisions has a case number attached to it, which ours do not. So we quite literally cannot appeal an insane decision. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, but David, this is the censorship you've been advocating for. No, it's not. That's not true. I have been saying these companies can have terms of service. And if I agree to the terms of service and I abide by the terms of service, then there shouldn't be any issue. The terms of service are being misapplied. We obviously aren't spreading COVID disinformation or vaccine disinformation. So if you work at Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and you think you can help with this, please get in touch with us. info@davidpakman.com. I would very much appreciate it. When we had an issue on Facebook, about a dozen people in the audience who work at Facebook got in touch and we were able to get it resolved. It took almost a month, but we were able to get it resolved. If you think this is something you might be able to help with, please get in touch, info@davidpakman.com. We just want to keep publishing our stuff. That's all. It's that we clearly have been caught up in some kind of dragnet. That's more conspiratorial than it is. Clearly, some kind of algorithm has misidentified our content. That's all. And we would appreciate help with that. And of course, as always, as we've said before, every revenue source we have other than our website memberships has been cut at some point in the past. It's happened with Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, of course, TikTok, YouTube, all of it. So the best insulator for us so that when these things happen, they don't really affect our revenues is to get a membership on our website, joinpakman.com. And you can do that. You can use the coupon code BIGVOTING22, sort of a coupon code to encourage voting and participation in the midterms. BIGVOTING22. You can use that to sign up at joinpakman.com. And it really does do a lot, and it helps to at least partially protect us from when things like this happen. So let me know if you work at Meta, Facebook, Instagram, info@davidpakman.com, if you think you might be able to help. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. Here's a very interesting voicemail. Now, I have spoken about this in the past. I've spoken before about a so-called incel component to some of the mass shootings. Okay, some. Here's a caller who is picking up on something that may be true. I'm going to play it for you, and then I want to get your thoughts. Listen to this.
Hey, David, Logan here. I was just curious about your opinion on something. So it seems like most of the shooters that go around and shoot up schools are mostly sexually frustrated, bullied young individuals. Do you think if prostitution was legalized in America and certain individuals could have access to certain kinds of things, do you think that might have an impact on reducing the amount of shootings in America?
I mean, listen, the question is, if the shooters were having sex, would they not be shooters? At the fundamental core of the question, it's that question. Really, it's even more than that, right? It's not just inability to find. Typically, the shooters are heterosexual males, so I'll use the term girlfriend, although we could be talking about a partner, significant other. Generally speaking, it does seem as though a lot of these shooters are not establishing romantic relationships in what might be a typical way, given their ages. And so the question fundamentally is, if they had a girlfriend or if they just had more social connections, would it probably reduce the number of shootings? I think the answer is it very well might. But what do you do about that? And regardless, should people who, if they can't find a girlfriend, are going to shoot up a school have access to guns? Like, it doesn't change the gun situation. But I think it's completely fair, and really it's responsible to say, this is such a complicated and major issue. I talk about gun safety, but we shouldn't only be talking about guns. We when the right says, well, we've got to deal with mental health. Yeah, let's deal with it. So you Republicans should stop voting against bills to better fund access to mental health care. Let's increase access to mental health care in the country. But let's also require a psych eval for having a gun, so maybe we can identify more people who should be directed, instead of to getting a handgun or a rifle, to a therapist of some kind. Let's do all of the above. Should we consider, not this whole eliminate all doors, but does it make sense to have police do evaluations of schools and say, here's five recommendations that could be done to increase security? Do it. Of course, do all those things. But the guns have to be a part of it. And additionally, this element of, well, what is the connection between lack of social connection, lack of romantic relationships, and people doing these things? Let's explore it. Anecdotally, it does seem as though this is a correlation factor, although the causation is much more difficult to ascertain. So interesting voicemail. Many of you have emailed in about essentially the same issue. We have a fantastic bonus show for you today. Joe Biden is pointing to an assault weapons ban as a, quote, rational option for gun control and gun safety. We're going to discuss it on the bonus show. Number two, we have never been great at recycling plastic, and there are states trying a new approach, which we're going to discuss on today's bonus show. And in addition, the manager of the San Francisco Giants is taking a break from his anthem protest because of Memorial Day. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what he's been doing, Gabe Kapler, and see what people think, and much more when I am joined by producer Pat on today's bonus show. You can get access to the bonus show by signing up at joinpacman.com. Alex Jones doesn't want you to do this.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money, but everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Yeah, Alex Jones, in fact, finds everything I do predatory.
That is a frickin' predator right
there. He doesn't like me, but I recommend signing up at joinpacman.com, and you can use the coupon code BIGVOTING22 to get a sizable discount. I will see you on the bonus show in a moment, or otherwise.
You're not to worry, but maybe that's a lie. Honey, what's your hurry? Won't you stay inside? Remember not to get too close to stars. They're never gonna give you love like ours. Where did you go? I should know, but it's cold and I don't wanna be lonely. So show me the way home. I can't lose another life.
Full of flavor since 1949.
RCT, the insane from way out.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The problem here is that the NRA and the gun industry, the gun lobby in aggregate, have been putting out an extremist ideology based on fake history in order to convince their voters that A, they're on the right side of history, and B, gun control poses an existential threat to the freedom and safety and lives of their families and their futures.
As funerals continue in Uvalde, Texas, demand for gun control is mounting, with bipartisan talks underway on a red flag law that might be able to overcome a Republican-led filibuster in the Senate, even as Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and other Republicans address the National Rifle Association's annual convention in Houston to oppose new gun laws. We'll speak with Frank Smythe, a longtime investigative journalist, author of The NRA, The Unauthorized History. Then it was March 29th, 2018, when a U.S. drone strike hit the car Adel Al-Manthari and four cousins were driving in. He was the only survivor. We'll hear from Manthari about how the Pentagon refuses to admit it made a mistake and pay for his life-saving surgery.
It affected me greatly. My children are without their schools. My life is scattered. My children stay with me and cannot go out because of my disability. 4 years and I haven't moved.
Then we look at how civil rights groups are challenging a series of racist U.S. Supreme Court rulings that have been used for over a century to legally justify discrimination against people in Puerto Rico and other U.S. territories. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Funerals are continuing in Uvalde, Texas, for the 19 fourth graders and their two teachers shot dead at Robb Elementary School last week. The state's probe into the police handling of the school shooting is facing a major new obstacle as the police chief of the Uvalde School District, Pete Arredondo, is refusing to cooperate with state investigators. Arredondo was the incident commander who ordered officers to wait in the school's hallways for about an hour instead of confronting the gunman, who was eventually shot dead by a Border Patrol agent. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, Arredondo was secretly sworn in as a city council member, but no public ceremony was held. This comes as ABC News has obtained audio of an emergency dispatcher alerting Uvalde police about the 911 calls being made by the children inside the school during the massacre. During an earlier police news conference, it was implied police did not know about the 911 calls from the students. In other news from Uvalde, the Texas Department of Public Safety has now revealed authorities mistakenly stated the gunman entered the school by a door that was propped open by a teacher. The state now says the teacher closed the door once it was known there was a shooter nearby, but that the door did not lock. We'll have more on the Texas shooting and the national debate on guns after headlines. The U.S. has announced it'll send an advanced artillery rocket system to Ukraine that can strike targets up to almost 50 miles away. The rocket system is part of a new $700 million U.S. military package for Ukraine that also includes Javelin short-range anti-tank rockets, artillery ammunition, helicopters, and air surveillance radar. The White House said Ukraine has given assurances it will not use the new rocket system to attack targets inside Russia. Russia blasted the U.S. arms package for Ukraine, saying the U.S. is, quote, deliberately pouring oil on the fire. The Wall Street Journal reports France and Germany are also expressing increasing concern over the shipment of more heavy weapons to Kyiv over increasing